Good morning, church family and ministry friends. This is Pastor Stephen Brooks. Welcome today to our online internet around the world church service. And I'm so glad that you are here today. Praise the Lord. Now, my friends, we're going to receive the tithes and offerings today first before we jump into the message. And let me read two scriptures to you from Proverbs chapter 3, which is one of the most loaded chapters in the Bible. I mean, all of the Word of God is good, but Proverbs chapter 3 has so many very simple and easy practical applications for success in life. And I'm going to read to you from verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions. And I think one of the best things that we can do in life is continually show honor to whom honor is due. And the greatest honor is due to the greatest one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father and His Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So we want to honor the Lord, and it says here to do it with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. My friends, when we bring the tithe into the storehouse, that is actually the first thing that we should do with our finances when you're paid. Let's say that you get paid every 2 weeks and you get your paycheck. The first thing in order to honor the Lord is to take the tithe out first. And those that don't tithe are the ones that don't show the honor to the Lord, but they'll endeavor to try to pay everything else first. And I understand there's bills, and some people do say they've got more bills at the end of the month than they have money. And so what they do is they put the Lord last, and that's why they stay last. And so they have every reason or excuse under the sun for why they don't tithe. And they'll say, I don't have enough money to tithe. But yet they cannot catch the simple revelation, that's why you don't have enough money, because you're not tithing, and the devourer is doing exactly what God said he would do. He devours all kinds of things, and I think some ways even devours people's ability to think rationally, to think in a way like, how can I reason my way out of this? It's like the enemy tries to devour a person's ability to think clearly. But when you tithe, you show honor to God. And even if you are in a tight place, God will begin to bring relief. All of his principles lead you into a place of prosperity and peace, and a place where you have comfort and protection, exactly opposite of what the enemy would do. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So off of all of your increase, whether that increase comes through work, let's say you work 40 or 70 hours a week and you got paid, well, we want to honor God first by giving the tithe off of that first, not last, not second, not even after we've paid Uncle Sam and set money aside for that. But no, we need to give God the tithe first. Now, it may be that your taxes are withheld in a sense, which is very wise to do. That way you don't have a big tax payment at the end of the year. But even if that's done electronically, automatically, my friend, still the first thing you do, though, is pull that tithe out and get it into the house of the Lord. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My friends, if you enjoy not just the words plenty and overflow, even those words sound good, don't they? But if you want to experience in your life plenty and overflow, then give the Lord the tithe up front, and you'll see God begin to work in your life and to solve what perhaps could be financial riddles of why there's lack or why there's never enough. Begin to honor the Lord, and he'll begin to extend honor, relief, blessing, and increase over into your life. You know, one of my greatest joys is receiving testimonies that come in from online church members and ministry partners that tithe and support this ministry, and hear the amazing testimonies of what God's doing. And you know what? I see the tithes when they come in, whether they come in through the mail or they come in electronically through online giving. I see everything from the guys and gals that are Uber drivers. I see everything from we have many career fields, almost all spectrums under the sun, everybody from that would be in the medical industry to just all kinds of things. On and on it goes, but it is a joy. You know, I like, for example, there's a couple of Uber drivers that if they make $100 right then, they'll tithe right off that. If they make $92 right then, you see the tithe, $9.20. These are guys and gals out there that are not playing games, and God is providing for them in extraordinary ways. They're making way above what would be the norm type income, getting what you would call the gravy jobs. Every career field has what you would call gravy jobs. Doesn't matter if you're a mechanic, a technician, or a physician. Some jobs pay a lot more than others, and you can't always control how they come in, but God can. And your tithe and the way that you honor God with your finances has a lot to do with that. And, you know, I received a testimony just about 4 days ago. One of our online church members, he and his wife, they saw a piece of property for sale and didn't have enough money, but they sold a few things and pulled what they did have together, and they had enough money to get a really good down payment, and they secured and bought the property. And it was like it was like their treasure, because they had to pull everything, and they had to be very creative in how they're going to get all the money together in order to grab what they saw as a tremendous opportunity. And they did it by faith. You know, there's like no guarantees in life in the sense where this is going to work. That's why we go by faith. When you have faith, you have that. You have that strength of God with you that as you go, because you can't see, so you're walking by faith. But as they stepped out by faith and made that purchase, they got it. And so they had their dream property. But you know what? Once they purchased it, they realized it could be zoned better. So they moved it out of a certain zoning status that it was in and moved some of it to commercial, moved some of it to residential. And then, because it was a large residential section, they divided it up into lots. And guess what? A building company made an offer to buy, and they decided to put some of the lots up for sale. And a building company made an offer to buy it, and they bought them out. And they were paid the two ministry partners, husband and wife. They were paid more, of course, than what they bought it for, but they got to keep the best lots for themselves. So they sold these others that were extra, and now they have a dream lot where they can build their dream home on, and then they have some other lots should they also want to get into development, and then they could turn around and sell those. But my friends, when you're a tither, when you actually realize that you can honor God with the money of your increase, no matter how that increase is, through your paycheck every 2 weeks, or maybe a family inheritance comes your way, maybe parents pass away, you get an inheritance. God says that 10% belongs to Him. And when you get it, when you get that blessing, when you get that increase, up front, take the tithe out. My wife and I just received from one of our online church members a personal blessing. What joy! And it touched my heart, because many times people see the ministry, but they don't realize behind the ministry there's the man. I mean, they see the man or the woman that's leading the ministry, but sometimes don't quite understand that that person has needs as well. But one of our online church members, a very dedicated partner, sowed a very precious seed into my life. And I tell you what, the first thing my wife and I did, held that check up and thanked God for it and thanked God for that partner. And then the tithe, woo, praise God, the tithe comes out and the tithe goes to the Lord. Amen. So we endeavor to do what I always want to do. When I stand before the Lord, I want my life behind the pulpit, behind the microphone, to be the same life, to be the same person when I'm at home, when I'm doing my thing, so to speak, when I'm not in the pulpit. I want to be the same. The last thing I'd want to do is teach tithing and then not be a tither myself. Oh, what an awful state such a person would be in. But my friends, my wife and I love to tithe. And the larger the tithe, the more joy there is involved. Praise God. But what a joy to tithe and honor the Lord. With the tithe, and of course, offerings as the Holy Spirit leads you. Praise God. And the Lord is good. So I look forward to hearing your great breakthroughs, your great testimonies, and I know that on the other side of this camera, as you're watching me on whatever platform, whether it's YouTube or whether it's many of the podcast sites or other things that we have, I know God's working in your life. You're a sower. You're a tither. You're a sower. Be expecting great things to break forth in your life, great doors of opportunity to open for you. And when the increase comes, honor the Lord right up front. That's really the heart of the first fruit. Let me say this also just to be technical, because I know I've got a few, Hebrew scholars out there. I have some viewers that really love the Jewish roots and things like that. I do too. I love all of that. But let me say this. I know that the first fruit technically is not the tithe. The first fruit is when the harvest comes in, because everything back then was pretty much agricultural. So a farmer would have his harvest. Let's say he's got his wheat harvest, and he's beginning to reap all of this wheat. It's going to take some time to sort out a tithe. What is a first fruit? A first fruit is saying, basically, I'm going to grab something quickly and get it to the Lord as an honor gift because of this phenomenal harvest. And then I'm going to finish the reaping, because you can't always just reap like in a day. It might take 2 or 3 days to get this big harvest in. And then when that's done, then you begin to get the tithe set apart, because they would take the tithe up to Jerusalem to the temple for the feast days. But I do know that technically a first fruit is like, let me just grab something that's the best of what I'm seeing and get that into the house of God immediately. Mm-mm. But the tithe also does carry that urgency. Get the tithe in. Don't give God the tithe last after you've done everything else. Get the tithe in. And if you will honor God, God will cause a lifting up to come into your life. Now, let's be hearers and doers of the word, because I'm looking forward to hearing your testimonies. You can email them to me anytime. I rejoice in God's lifting you up, praise God, taking you and breaking you through to the next level. Now, if you prefer to mail in your tithe, you want to mail in an offering also, please send that to Stephen Brooks International, P.O. Box 717, Moravian Falls, North Carolina, the zip code 28654. Again, P.O. Box 717, Moravian Falls, North Carolina, 28654. Now, if you prefer to bring your tithe and a special offering in online, you can do so anywhere in the world as long as you can get on the internet. Praise God. Amen. I don't know. Maybe you can even do it on a sat phone where there is no internet. But go to my website. Go to the homepage, stephenbrooks.org. StephenBrooks.org. Look up at the top. There's a header that says Give Online. Click that and it'll drop down and show you tithes and offerings. Click that. Takes you to the giving page. It'll say FUND. Click that. There's the area for the tithe. Bring it in. Come on. 10% of the increase belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. Look. There's some of you very, very soon, you will know what it is to give a six-figure tithe. Mm-mm. And there's some of you, listen to me, there's some of you in the very, very near future, and I'm not talking like the year 2042. It's getting real close. You could be a couple of weeks out, maybe a couple of months out. There are some of you that I believe you're going to be able to give $1 million tithe. Praise God. And of course, you can put some offering in with that too. Amen. I just received a blessing. My wife and I, we paid the tithe and put some offering in with it also. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to God. Oh, I see your barns so full, and I see you with so much overflow that the tithe is just a joy to bring it in. And then there's just so much. You're going to put some seed offering on top of that. Oh, my. Praise God. Now, Heavenly Father, as your people are honoring you with the tithe, with the increase, with an offering, I thank you, Father God, that they're going to experience plenty. They're going to experience overflow. More than enough is their portion. Father, we give you praise. We thank you that we are hearers and doers of your word. We thank you for the great lifting up that you are doing for your people in this hour. And Father, you are shaking the wealth of the sinner into the hands of the righteous. And I know that there will be those that won't want to let it go. But Father, we know that when you shake, Everything can be shaken loose. Woo! Father, we thank you. There is a seismic shift in the spiritual realm that will be affecting things financially, and you're going to be presenting opportunities to your people. Some will become millionaires overnight. Father, I thank you that already they know what to do with the tithe. They are trained in your word. They are skilled practitioners of your word, and they're ready for the increase. Father, we thank you. I pray that you release it unto them in Jesus' name. Divine opportunities in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo! Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, today, I want to talk about not just advancing, but I want to talk about supernatural advancement. You're about to go forward in some ways that are not normal. They're actually extraordinary to the degree they can be classified as being supernatural. But I want to share the surrounding elements so that you're aware of what's going on with this advancing. Everyone, man or woman, who's going into their promised land must expect that there's going to be resistance. And if you think there's not, you're kind of like in a maybe like a religious la-la land. But you're going to go into your promised land. Many of you have already stepped foot over and you're in there, but there's going to be resistance. But you can stand up to any challenge that you face because you have a stronger force on your side. And what is that force? It's the force of faith. We're going to talk about it today, but first let's pray. Father, as we're jumping into the study of your word, we do thank you for not only advancing us forward, but your people will experience supernatural advancement. Now, Father, let the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, touch the understanding of your people today so they can apply your word with great exertion against any opposing force, and they're going to see that obstacle removed. In Jesus' name, let's all agree and say amen. Praise God. Well, my friends, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1, and I want you to see that you have a tremendous spiritual inheritance, which is wonderful, but I want you to notice where it's at and how we have to work with that, okay? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing." Oh, that's nice. "In the heavenly realms," or in the heavenly places in Christ. So, what we have to do is we have to make sure that we know how to move it from the heavenly realm or the invisible spiritual realm into the world in which we live, breathe, eat, sleep, and exist. Praise God. We're going to talk about that. Now, let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm so glad that you're here today with me. I do hope that on Sundays I can get back over to my sanctuary very soon. I like to stand up on Sundays and preach to you, but I'm sitting down here in Studio B, and I thought we would be back in Studio A a little bit sooner, but a lot of work going on, and many technical things were getting ironed out, but it's all good, and I trust to be back there very, very soon as we are advancing in different areas. Praise God, and you'll see that soon. Praise the Lord. And now we're over in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue." So all things that pertain to life and godliness, those things have been given to us. They're not going to be when we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, it's a realm where there's no sin, there's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no devil or anything like that. But here, we have already been given everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. So what we must do is we move it from the heavenly realm, and then we see it manifest in the earth realm where we're at. And all of the things that we need to enjoy, Jesus purchased for them through his shed blood for us at Calvary. Now, going back to Psalm 34, I want to go over to Psalm 34, and let's go to verse 10. "The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." My goodness. I want you to know that God has mapped out for you and planned out for you all kinds of good things that he has pre-baked into the destiny of your journey throughout this life. My goodness, my goodness. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want, no lack to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. God wants you to have an abundance of good things. The glory of the Lord manifesting in your life and you knowing and experiencing that glory goodness in your life. Praise Jesus forever. Mm-mm. Now let's continue on because Paul the Apostle, he teaches us how we can possess our full inheritance. And that's exactly what we're doing. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Drop down with me, please, today to verse 12. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. Woo! I mean, that's something where you've got to exert yourself. There has to be movement. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So we are instructed here to fight the good fight. And the reality is that we have been called into a fight, which is the only way to lay hold on what Jesus has purchased for us. I mean, he paid such a high price for it. The complete laying down of his life, the shedding of his blood, we have got to do it in order to bring him glory and honor. Mm-mm. But my friends, faith is the master key to a world of victory and a world of receiving what Jesus said, this is your inheritance. Now let's look at that in 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to go over the verse 4. For whatever is born of God, and that would of course be you as a child of God, as a believer, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Woo, praise God. So the fight of faith is the only way to lay hold of the things that Jesus has placed in store for you. Oh, it's the only way. It's the only way to lay hold and take it. Mm-mm. Let's go over to the book of Romans and see this. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Mm-mm. So salvation in Jesus and the usage of your faith grants you supernatural access into everything that God can do for you. Oh, he's made so much available for you and I, and we need to step into it. Praise the Lord. Now let's talk further about this process and about the getting up of it and doing it. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 24, and you're going to see a paradox. You're going to see something that's an irony. It's a prophetic mental twist, but let's look at it, and I want to show you how God thinks and how God views things from his all-wise mind. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. God talking to Moses, rise and take your journey and cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hand. Not I'm going to, not 10 years from now when you feel better, when you've been working out a little bit more, we'll do it. No, he says, I have, that's past tense, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle. Mm-mm. I have given you. My friends, did you know that right now, as you're listening to me, watching me, did you know that there are things that God has already given to you? They actually belong to you. They're yours. It's got your name written on it. God wrote your name on it. Mm-mm. Well, what do I do, Pastor Stephen? You go get it. And you take it by force. You go contend with Mr. Sihon, the king, and you take it from him. Look, it says, possess it and engage him in battle. Engage him in battle. You know, if there were no oppositions, then our inheritance would just automatically release to us. Wouldn't that be nice? Unfortunately, there are some Christians that think that's how it works. It just, if it's God's will, it'll just happen. And they take no note that there's an adversary. Again, if there were no oppositions, then our inheritance would just automatically be released to us. But there is opposition, and it's the adversary, and he's called the devil, and he is real. He is against anything good that God has planned for your life. I mean, if it's a blessing, if it's something that would make you happy, something to make you smile, something can even be a generational legacy blessing that could be transferred onto your children or grandchildren. Oh, he's going to try to get in there and mess it up. But he's not going to win. Let's go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. For a great and effective door has opened to me. Oh, yes, Pastor Stephen, let's throw a party. Let's sit back and just talk about how big the door is and how wonderful all of this is. But let's also read the rest of the verse. For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. There are many adversaries. You must get in the right mindset so that you know what you're going into. No need to be afraid. No need to be concerned or lose any sleep over it. But you have to know what's going on here when you begin to engage King Sihon, when you begin to engage him in battle, to possess the land that God says, I've given that land to you. Now go take it. It's got your name written on it. Okay, Lord, I'll go. But you have to understand this is an engagement in battle. It is a fight of faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Your faith. This is how you're going to get the job done completely. Mm-mm. Now, the reason that there's contention is because of the stone-heartedness of the opposition. The devil does not have remorse. The devil does not have a consciousness where he did something awful and then maybe feels bad about it. No. He actually delights in doing evil, wicked things. So he wants to block you and would try to rob you of what rightfully belongs to you. That's why there's that contention. And by the way, if you're ever in the land of Israel and you're just standing in Jerusalem and you're in a peaceful state, maybe you're prayed up, you can feel it. You can feel contention in the air where Jerusalem eventually will become a stumbling block that pulls the whole world into a worldwide contention. That little bitty city will pull the whole world into it. Mm-mm. Why? There's contention over the promises that God made to Abraham. Mm. And remember, anybody that hates the Jews, they never, ever stop with the Jews. They're going to go after the Christians too. And it used to be back 20 years ago, you could look at the voting record of a politician, and let's say it comes down to a presidential election. You've got one candidate who loves killing unborn babies. I mean, just delights in it. But you've got another candidate that delights in preserving and protecting the innocence of life and values the sanctity of life. And so you could think, oh, I have standards. I can choose between this and that. And then maybe there's other moral issues, and it was kind of like real clear to see. But as we have moved further and further in many ways away from the Lord as a nation, sometimes now a lot of things are blurred. But here, if you don't know anything else, please get this one. This one will always stand. You always, if you have no other standards that you can, if you're sorting through and you can't figure out anything about these politicians because all of the previous lines have been erased and now you know there's no longer a standard there. If you will always stand with the one that stands with Israel, you'll always make the right decision. Because they maybe have compromised. Maybe they now believe in all kinds of weird, crazy stuff, but yet, if that man or woman says, we stand with Israel because God has an eternal covenant with Israel, that's who you vote for. That's the direction you want to go. Because Israel may lose a few battles here and there, but they will never, ever lose the war. They are here, and Israel ain't going anywhere. God has a covenant with that nation. God has a covenant with the descendants of those people. And in certain areas, God has a covenant with the descendants of Esau. Remember when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt and they're going through the desert and they get over to that area by Mount Seir. And God told Moses, tell the people, you're about to go through the area of Mount Seir. You've been going around the mountain long enough, so I'm going to take you over here, start getting close to the promised land. But you're going to go through the descendants of Esau. Don't you dare touch any of their stuff. Don't you trouble them in the least bit. Don't even look at this land and pretend like you like it. I gave that to his descendants, and you can't have an inch of it. Doesn't belong to you. So they have certain blessings also. Doesn't bother me that they have their oil. Enjoy your oil. Be happy, praise God. Amen. Obviously, you've seen that Israel's doing pretty good without it. Oh, they still need it for their, certain machinery and cars and stuff like that. They've got to import it from certain areas. Side note, I do believe there's actually oil in Israel. I still believe it's there. They just haven't found it yet. Okay, back to our story. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So you can feel that contention that's in the air, that's in the spiritual realm over Jerusalem. Always stand with Israel. Support God's people. Look, Israel as a nation, there's a lot of sin in the nation. There's a lot of problems. They're not perfect in any way. But IDF is the most humane army in the world, doing everything they can. There's going to be some mistakes, but they are the best at what they do. When you're fighting people that are so wicked and so evil, you're fighting against full-grown men that hide behind babies and want the babies to get shot so they can take pictures and say, oh, look what they did. You're hiding against people that are possessed by evil spirits, that are possessed by Satan, and they're doing unconscionable things. Stand with Israel, because if they're coming against Israel, they'll always come against the Christians. Mm-mm. The blessings of Abraham are on us. Mm-mm. Why? Because we are in Messiah Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Now, of course, many of the Jewish people have a veil over them, and they can't quite see that just yet, but we're going to love on them until they do. Amen. Praise God. All right, so that's why we have this contention. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, this contention against the enemy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, praise God today, glory. Mm-mm. 1 Timothy 1, and this will be verse 18, praise the Lord. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. I like how the Holman Christian Standard Bible says that by these prophecies, you may strongly engage in battle. Mm-mm. I tell you what, when you get a prophecy that comes from the Lord through a yielded vessel, whether it's a prophetess or a prophet, and they give you a on-fire word from heaven and it bears witness with your spirit, then you can take that prophecy, and what can you do with it? You strongly engage in battle with it. That is scriptural. You wage a warfare with spirit-inspired prophecies. Glory to God. Life, my friends, is a battlefield. One day, you can get over to heaven, and if you want to, you might think it's silly when you actually get there, but if you want to, you can lay on a cloud and play a harp and eat cherries. And maybe we can get an angel and he can have a fan. He can fan air on you while you do it. But down here, life's a warfare. And I do have a feeling that even when you get to heaven, you probably don't want to lay on a cloud and play a harp. You're probably going to find many other things much more engaging and entertaining. But down here, yes, there is the shalom peace of God. Down here, there is all of that. We thank God for peace. But, David understood both sides of the coin. David, who was a man anointed for war, but he also understood Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So you have to have some of both of that heart of David in you, where you enjoy the peace of God and you understand that, and you have to have that in order to thrive and live. You have to have peace. But there's other elements in the area of conquest where God said, this is your inheritance and you must take it by faith. Well, there is an engagement then in the spirit realm, praise God. So life is a battlefield. It's not a playground. You must have a warfare consciousness. That doesn't mean that you're like always looking to that, but it's a faith attitude. It's a faith attitude that your faith is on and you are taking what God said rightfully is yours. You're taking it by faith and you are putting strong faith pressure of the word against any opposition. Exodus chapter 13. Exodus 13. And let's go to verse 17. Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Well, you could be assured if you're going through Philistia, if you're going through the Philistines, you better believe there's going to be some war. They've got some giants too. And there would become stories in the future that would be legendary. David cutting off Goliath's head. Yes, amen. But right now, God knows, they're not ready for that. They're not ready for that. But my friends, when the reality of what faith can do begins to percolate in your spirit, you're like, I'm taking something on. I'm going to conquer something. Mm-mm. It may not be Goliath just yet, but it's going to be something. Praise the Lord. Mm-mm. God already knows about the warfare. He knows about the battles that we must fight and that we need to win. But you're not going to stay stagnant in the same position anymore. You will advance, and not only will you advance, I prophesy over you that you will have supernatural advancement. Mm-mm. You know too much of the word, and you know how to work it, amen, to be just stuck in mediocrity. No, you're going to get done everything that God has called you to do. Praise the Lord. It's a busy year, isn't it? It's a busy year. Woo, praise God. Well, Pastor Stephen, how do we fight? How do we do it? Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6 and look at it very clearly in verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. How do we quench the fiery darts? By the force of the shield of faith. You can block every single one. This weapon of faith has everything it takes to stop anything the enemy can throw at you. Discouragement, doubt, circumstances that would appear negative, the way things appear in the natural, like nothing's happening. All of that stuff. The shield of faith can block all of that and keep you going forward. It can stop everything that the enemy can throw at it. And the truth is that without faith, you don't have a future. If you don't rise up and use your faith and take hold of the promises and possess your land, then you'll stay stagnant. And that's actually, if you read carefully Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 14 onward, and look at the curses, one of the curses is that you're just not increasing. You're stagnant. You're stuck in the same repetitive mode over and over. You're not increasing in any area. You're not increasing financially. You're not increasing in joy. You're either in this stuck mode, or maybe worse than that, going backwards. But my friends, I see you making supernatural advancement, and you're using these incredible faith principles. Faith is the only guarantee for possessing your possessions. Let me say that again. Faith is the only guarantee for possessing your possessions. Yes, those are your possessions. What am I supposed to do, Pastor Stephen? Possess them. How? Through faith, using the shield of faith. Praise the Lord. It's a force, a mighty, mighty force. You can push with that shield. We have a bulldozer coming out to the property within just a few days. It can push thousands and thousands of pounds of dirt. Oh no, Pastor Stephen, the dirt's too heavy. No, it's not. And what's there that needs to be moved, it's going to get moved. Well, I don't know, Pastor Stephen. It's been sitting there ever since God created the planet. Yep, and it's about to get moved too. It's getting forcibly moved out of the way. It's being pushed out of the way. And you can take the shield of faith and just keep going forward. Yes, the darts are coming. They're on fire. The fiery darts are coming. But you can keep advancing with that shield of faith out in front of you. You need to target everything you know which belongs to you through the redemption package that is not yet manifested in your life, and engage the force of faith to enforce the release of those blessings. To enforce the release of your possessions. Remember, God told Moses, I've already given you the land. I've already given it to you. Go up and take it. Engage him. Your name's written on it. Go get it. Supernatural advancement is essentially a function of power display. And I want to show you a golden verse. I want you to meditate on this throughout the week. Go with me, please, Psalm 66. Let me get a drink of some hot tea. Psalm 66, verse 3. Here's a hot verse. Say to God. Now, by the way, while this is an instruction and this is a song, a psalm, which is something that you would sing, so it's a song, while this is an instruction of what you are to sing, it's also a commandment. It's not like this is like, well, maybe if you want to do this. No, this is an instructed commandment. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. And that is something that you can say to God throughout the week. You could say, God, how awesome are your works. And God, through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. Now, if you read this in different versions, it brings out the notation that they're submitting themselves to God is a feigned submission. In other words, we don't really want to, but we have to. Why? We all know why. God's more powerful, and you better bow or get destroyed. You better let go or get burned. You better move out of the way or you're going to get crushed by the Almighty. Through the greatness of your power, not being sweet and handing a lollipop. No, through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. I think during the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, we'll see a lot of this feigned submission. Why? Because Jesus is on the throne, ruling from Jerusalem over the whole earth. Satan is thrown into the bottomless pit and falls continually for 1,000 years. And then after 1,000 years, he's let out. What happens? He's able to get another group to follow him again, which would also suggest to us that during the 1,000 years, there were those that feigned obedience. Acted like, oh God, we knew all the time you were the Messiah. Jesus, we love you, blah, blah, blah. But then when the devil shows back up 1,000 years later, some of them go back over to him. But they better respect Jesus and they better respect God when the power is there, because they know you can't. Why? He's stronger. He's stronger. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. Faith connects us to God's power, which is the power that is above all powers. Power, by the way, this is important. Power is the end product of the operation of faith. Have you ever thought about that and thought that through? That power is the end product of the operation of faith. In other words, faith is a channel through which we tap into divine power that enforces the release of what belongs to us. Oh, praise God. So you're tapping into that power through your faith, the power above all power. Romans chapter 1, Verse 16, let's close with this verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Through the instrument of faith, the gospel becomes translated into power. Faith converts the word of God into power. Let me say that again. Faith converts the word of God into power, and this power does two things. Number one, it causes every opposition before you to bow down. And number two, it enforces the release of your destiny so that you become what God ordained you to be. Woo! Praise God. Praise God. Amen. So without faith, you don't have a life. Without faith, you don't have victory. You've got to engage in faith, engage in what God said, and it'll hold up, and you can keep advancing supernaturally against any opposition. Praise the Lord. So I want to read Psalm 66 one more time. Verse 3, say to God, I want you to do this week, tell him this, say to God, it's not like an optional thing, though it's a commandment, say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies, whether that enemy is a sickness or a disease, whether that enemy is debt that you're believing to get paid off out of your life, whether that resistance is something that would say you can never get in here, but you know you're supposed to be in there. How awesome are your works, the greatness of your power. Your enemies shall submit themselves to you. So you connect with that power through your faith in God. Praise God. Father, I pray for those that are watching, taking this to heart. Let your word be sealed in their spirit and produce the 100-fold return of righteousness, peace, and joy, miracles and breakthroughs and supernatural advancement. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, that this year your people are moving forward, accomplishing destiny assignments. Oh, God, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're watching and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he's the only one that can offer you eternal life. There is no other way to God the Father and eternal life except through his Son, Jesus. He's the only mediator between God and man. Pray this prayer after me and make your peace, make your life right with God. Just say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Savior of the world and you died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. Jesus, I repent of my sin. Save me now. Wash me with your blood and write my name in your book of life. Jesus, in your name I pray. Amen and amen. And as you have offered that prayer up to God, he's heard it and he has saved your soul. Welcome to the family of God. Eternal life is now yours. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's take Holy Communion today. Grab some unleavened bread. Grab some grape juice. Praise the Lord. Not wine, grape juice. Praise the Lord. I don't want anybody dabbling around with alcohol. I will never ordain somebody that drinks alcohol. Never. Praise God. There's some of the most dangerous drugs out there in the world, fentanyl and other stuff that's coming on, cocaine and all this things that can really put the hurt on people. But there is never, ever in the history of the world, still till this day, that has destroyed more people than alcohol. Stay away from it. Every time I take communion, I'm using grape juice. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the bread and the juice. We bless it through this prayer and we set it apart as being holy. Father, we thank you that this is now the body and the blood of Jesus, hidden under the mysterious veiled form of what would appear to be bread and juice, but we now receive it as the body and the blood. Father, as we receive the Lord's flesh, we thank you for strength. We thank you for courage. We thank you for the infusion of the power of you, O God, as we take hold of your promises, take hold of what you said, utilize holy prophecies, And we thank you, Father God, you're helping us to win every battle. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's receive the Lord's body. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the covenant. There was the old, but the new is better, far superior. And it's been sealed with the blood of Christ. And Father, we thank you that everything that you have for us. Now, if it's not, if there's something that's maybe we want that it's not for us, may we never hold it in our hand. May we never even toy with it or touch it. But Lord, we've got enough that you've promised to keep us busy until we go to be with you or until you come to take us. So Father, we just thank you for the blood of Jesus that we can have everything that you have made available for us. And we can enjoy it because it's all good, because everything about you is good. Father, we now receive the Lord's blood. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's drink together. Praise God. All right, many of you are on the glory train, riding with me and many others from around the world to Pentecost to seek God early every morning before the sun comes up. There are some people, they're so locked in to doing this that they actually, as soon as the clock hits midnight, they start their prayer time. They don't wait till 4 o'clock. They don't ever want to miss. Praise God. Amen. Whatever works for you, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're getting up early, praying every morning, just out of hunger, no legalism, just out of hunger to seek God. And so the glory train runs like this. 2 hours and 24 minutes is a tithe of the day. We're getting up, and before the sun breaks the horizon, we're getting a tithe in of doing nothing but praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. Doing that for 2 hours and 24 minutes, get your coffee, whatever, jump on the glory train with us. It runs to Pentecost. Now, it started just a little bit before Passover. So we've already cleared Passover, but we're going to be going for the next 50 days, heading onwards towards Pentecost. So if you're just now jumping on the train, you can. But we've been on it the whole time, so we get off at Pentecost. If you're joining right now, you need to go about 10 days past Pentecost, and then your train will reach the destination. Okay? Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory, glory to the Lord. But we're going to enjoy the ride. Amen. Amazing things are already happening. Some of you, that as you pray in tongues, you'll finish your prayer time. You'll get ready to go to work. You get your breakfast. You get ready to get dressed. You go to a closet, pick out your clothes. And because you've been praying in the Spirit, you'll just know, I'm supposed to wear this. You don't have to stand there 10 minutes trying to figure out an outfit. You've been praying in tongues so much, you just, that shirt or those shoes, and boom, you just go. Things just flow. There's oil all over you, the oil of the Spirit. Amen, amen. So you're welcome to ride the glory train with us, okay? All right, pray you have a great week. Meditate on Psalm 66, verse 3. I'll see you back again real soon.